In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and it's great to be with you today. Today, we start a new month, and we start it off right. The Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. Actually, technically in the church, it's not a feast, unless I guess you're like a Josephite or the Order of St. Joseph or something like that. But it's not a feast day. It's basically just a memorial today. But those of us who love St. Joseph, you know, I think treat this with a little more solemnity. So what a great day to start off the month with St. Joseph the Worker. You know, and what a wonderful way to celebrate work. You know, I'm going to be talking about work in a show next week, actually. Talk about the challenges that we experience at work, especially in this culture of woke and of conformity. You know, what do you do at work when you're faced with a seemingly untenable situation? We're going to talk about that next week, but we want to make sure that we celebrate all the people who work, all the people who are out there supporting their families, making sure that they're, you know, getting proper health care and wages and you know, so it's a symbiotic relationship. That's what we hope for, right? In a proper economic system, you know, we want to make sure that the workers there are being taken care of. And we want to make sure that the employers are not treating workers like widgets or assets or just people who make us money. You know, we want to make sure that that they remember that the people that work for them are made in the image and likeness of God. And they need to see that first when we're dealing with human beings. You know, so every human being, especially in a working environment, deserves the dignity and respect of someone created in God's image and likeness. And so we have to remember that. So we want to celebrate all the workers today through the heart of our beloved Saint Joseph, husband of Mary, foster father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One thing I do want to point out: some people say, even in the Liturgy of the Hours, when I was praying in the airport this morning on my way back from Naples, Florida, I think it said in the intercessions in Lauds or in morning prayer, it said that they were raised in poverty. So I want to challenge that. I would say they were not raised in poverty. Why? If you look in, first of all, you know that when Jesus was born, they brought him in for the presentation to be circumcised, that they made an offering of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So there are three types of offerings that could be made. There was a primary offering, a secondary offering, and a tertiary offering. We can see this very clearly in Leviticus chapter 5, for example, starting at verse 5 and following. So the primary offering was a lamb or a sheep or a goat or something like that. If the family could not afford the primary offering, for example, why couldn't they offer a lamb? Well, maybe they needed that lamb for wool. You know, maybe they need the wool from that lamb in order to make clothing and blankets and for sustenance for their family. Maybe they couldn't sacrifice a goat because they needed the goat for milk and cheese. You know, so they couldn't sacrifice some of these animals because they were providing the main sustenance for their family life. And so they would make a secondary offering, which is two turtle doves or two young pigeons. If they were poor, like destitute poor, then they would make what's called a tertiary offering. So they would take an ephah of fine flour. So an ephah is 4.9 dry gallons of grain. They would take a tenth of that, which is an omer. So they would take an omer of grain and make that their offering to the priest. Right. So clearly we see the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, the Holy Family, making the secondary offering. So clearly they weren't poor, destitute poor, as sometimes they're described, because Joseph was a worker. That's my point. He's a worker. He was a carpenter. He helped provide for his family. And so that's what we want to celebrate. Everyone who's out, no matter what your job is, whether you're CEO of a company, whether you're sweeping floors at a fast food restaurant, doesn't matter. We want to celebrate the dignity of work. In fact, I would, the second reading today from Matins, or from the Office of Readings, was from Gaudium et Spes, second Vatican Council document on the church in the modern world. And there was a paragraph in there. I can find it for you real quick, because it'd be good something to read and reflect on today as we're celebrating work and celebrating Saint Joseph. So you can Google Gaudium et Spes, or Second Vatican Council, Church in the Modern World. And it's paragraphs 33 and 34. So it's talking about the heading in the Liturgy of the Hours, or the breviary, is the worldwide activity of man. So it talks about the nature of work, our place in it. Just a couple of, it's not a very long read at all. So you can go and online and either, you know, download the document, just read it online, read those couple of paragraphs, just to get us into the spirit of what this day is about. Well, I myself made it back home, as you heard, and it's to show what kind of blessings that God provides. So I landed an hour ago. I literally was on the plane an hour ago, taxiing to the gate. And so I was able to deplane, get my bags, and get a ride share home. And I was home before 12:30. I live 7 minutes from the airport. And so why is that a blessing? When I was, well, even way before I was planning on leaving my job, we had to move. So our first house was a small three-bedroom house here in Portland. And which was fine when we had my wife and I and our first two kids. But when the twins came, we ran out of space. So we had to move. And we were looking for houses for a long time. And when we came, we actually looked at this house on the listing online and said, we don't like it, because there's trees and stuff in the yard. And it was blocking the view. And we really couldn't see the house very well. It wasn't very appealing. So we said, I will skip it. And so a few weeks later, the house was still here. I said, let's go take a look at it. So we drove, and it looked nothing like it did on the listing. And so we walked through the house, and my son, Benjamin, was 4 years old at the time, one of the twins. He was four. And all the other houses, you know, he was in, running around. But when we got to this house, he walked in, and he said, "This is our house." And I said, "What?" He said, "This is our house." And sure enough, he was right. We ended up buying this house. We've been here now. 12 years or so. So yeah, it's been, they're 21 now. Oh God, we've been here a long time. And this was way, way before I thought about leaving my job or anything like that, but we're so close to the airport, which wasn't even a consideration. But God knew that, you don't know this yet, but you know, about 10 years after you move into this house, you're going to be traveling and speaking, and I'm giving you a grace by being really close to the airport. And and by God's grace, here we are. You know, so I'm so grateful to God for everything, for traveling mercies today. And today we're going to be talking about the meaning of love. Why? Because, you know, we say, well, God is love. But sometimes we throw God into the category like, I love my dog, I love my house, I love pizza, I love music, I love God. But what does it really mean to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? We're going to talk about that today. The phone number to join us is 833-288-3986. Or you can email beacon@ewtn.com, or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response, and then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And so grateful to be doing this show with some great folks. Charles Berry doing social media, Matt Gabinski screening calls, and the best producer in the business, Ace McKay. Ace.
Hey, man. How you doing? I'm good. I have to ask, though, how many times in the life of your children have they said something that God had orchestrated before he gave you, like, the word or the piece?
Yeah, that's so true. Well, out of the mouths of babes, we say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that's so true. Yeah, sometimes children can be used as messengers for God. Because, I mean, I think Jesus had a very special place in his heart for children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes children can teach lessons to their parents. You know, especially when they're young, because the way they see the world, you know, it hasn't become jaded, it hasn't become, you know, influenced by all the outside forces. And just to see the way they see the world so pure and so innocent, you know, something beautiful about that, that I think that we can all learn from today.
Yeah, the first time my oldest saw me lose my temper over something that really was trivial, looking back on it, she comes up and sits down and she pats me on the knee and goes, "I get angry sometimes too, Daddy." And I'm like, you know, it's just, thank you, Lord, for this humbled moment brought to you by, you know.
That's right. Well, today is Wednesday. We're looking at Word of God Wednesday. We're looking at God is Love. Yeah. Woo, got James Brown going on today.
I'm telling you. I'll get you a little cape. That way you can, like, you know, pretend like you're walking off and then...
Yeah.
Demon sweat.
But that dude was funky, though, man.
Oh,
James
come on.
Brown, what?
His band.
And his influence, right? Michael Jackson, Prince, all influenced by the Godfather of Soul.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, you should Google Eddie Murphy's impersonation on stage with James Brown. It's amazing to watch him do that in front of James. It's great.
That's awesome. Well, today is Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And again, we're looking at the meaning of love, John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be looking at John 15, 9 to 17, the meaning of love on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. And if you want to be on the show today, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986.
Of course, anytime you want to give your comments and opinions on the network or things that you hear, questions you might even have, and we're maybe not necessarily in live show mode, you can do that through our listener comment line 24/7, 365, when you call 205-795-5773. That's 205-795-5773. Leave your comments anytime, and we will do our best to answer your comments and, of course, any suggestions you have as well. But that's our listener comment line here at EWTN Radio.
All right, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And we're using the Revised Grail Psalms, approved for use, liturgical use in the church, and prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And don't forget, this segment of the show, The Soulful Psalms, is now its own podcast. Go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com or to Apple or to iTunes or to SoundCloud, wherever your favorite podcast is. And you can listen to all these segments just on the Psalms, called The Soulful Psalms, in its own podcast. All right, so we're looking at Psalm 139, 1 to 12. Now, we looked earlier this week at 139 verses 13 to 24. So now we're going to look at the first 12 verses of Psalm 139. So of course, 139 is in book 5 of the Psalms, which goes all the way to the end, Psalm 150. These last 20 Psalms, like 130 to 150, most of those are attributed to David. All right, so we see this wonderful bookend of the Davidic Psalms. We see just about all the Psalms in book 1, 1 to 41 is David. And then 107 to 150, which is book 5, the Psalms toward the end of book 5 are also attributed to David. So the prescript of the Psalm is very simple. Again, it's the entire, it's the first verse. Very simply, for the choir master of David, a Psalm. Very simple. And so I love this. Again, I love, love, love this psalm. This is one of my favorite ones to pray when this comes up in the cycle of reading in the office. Typically week four, this comes up. So it starts, O Lord, you search me and you know me. Just that first, O Lord, you search me and you know me. God knows the very inner depths of our hearts and our souls and our lives. Why? Because he created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he searches, and he knows us. And that word there, yada, knowledge that is gained by experience. He experiences us. He doesn't know us like we know a friend. He knows us deeply, personally, intimately. You yourself know my resting and my rising. Right? Since we were, and we heard in the second part of the psalm, you know, that he when he formed us in the womb, that he knew us. Right? And so he knows the resting and the rising. There's nothing we can do, no action that we can take, no breath that we can take without God knowing, without God loving us. You mark when I walk or lie down. You know all my ways through and through. It says, you mark when I walk or lie down. To me, when I reflect on that, it reminds me of the book of Revelation, the book of life. You know, what is our goal? To make sure that at the end of our life, our names are written in the book of life. Right? And so God knows. He's not, but look, okay, it's not that God is like micromanaging our lives. Like, oh, he did this sin. Oh, remember, because we go to sacrament reconciliation, the slate is wiped clean. And we cooperate with the grace of that sacrament. The more we empty ourselves of all those things that separate us from God's love and opens our hearts wide to create more room for God's love to fill us. You know, and the more we're therefore willing to stay in right relationship with God. Right? Beautiful. In verse 4, before ever a word is on my tongue, you know it, O Lord, through and through. So David continues this beautiful description of how God knows us. Every action, every word, every word that comes from our mouth, every thought in our head is known by God through and through. Which means what? He is not like a magician that knows what we're going to say before we say it. He also knows the intention of our hearts that come through our words. So we may say something to a friend, and maybe it's like a half-truth or whatever, but God knows that the intention of our hearts when we say something. So when we say, I love you, to another person, he knows, are we just saying words coming out of our mouth? Or is it really from our hearts? Do we love that person and see that person the way God loves them and sees them when he looks at them?
You know, it kind of ties into you talking earlier about your, you know, son, you know, preordaining your house, right? How many times have we had someone that we spiritually look up to or lean into give us a word that God knows that we will respect, that it's coming from someone who is in tune with the love of God, with the relationship and the words? And I love when that happens, because you're like, whoa. Because it's always at the, you know, it's always at the right time, right? His timing is perfect. And it's in that, when you're in that mode and you're like, wait, God gave you a word. He told you to say that to me? And you know that it's true, but it's the rhetorical, right, that always goes on when we question God or his timing. And so I love that as he shows his love to us, he knows who needs to speak. It's that village into our lives.
Right, and God understands. Sometimes use other people for just that purpose.
Yeah,
you know, there's been a number of times that, you know, I'm giving my talk. I'm not even. You know, I always pray and leave room for the Holy Spirit to work. So even though I'm giving the quote unquote same talk, it's different because I leave myself open to say, well, okay, Holy Spirit, what does this group of people on this day need to hear from this talk? And invariably, someone will come and say, man, I thought you were talking to me, or I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Or you're thinking about something. Someone from after church comes up to you and says, hey, wait a minute. You know, they say something. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. I was just thinking about that this week. You know, there's something on my heart this week, and now you brought it up. Like, I typically hear from guys, for example, who think they're being called to be deacons. You know, and so right. People can come up to me and say, you'd be a great deacon, you know, and they'll say, well, maybe the Holy Spirit's saying something to you. You know?
So you're like the Grateful Dead of Deacon speakers because you change it up every night, so it could be the same story, just slightly different.
Well, it's different, or it may not include that story at all.
Right.
You know, it just depends. Sure. Like, I got to leave myself open. What does the Holy Spirit need me to say to this group? Amen. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And David just continues, behind and before you besiege me, your hand ever laid upon me, too wonderful for me, this knowledge, too high beyond my reach. So David doesn't try to put God in the box. When he realizes that God knows every single thought, word, breath, action, he acknowledges the awesome omnipotence of God. This is beyond anything I could even think of or imagine, this kind of knowledge. And then he starts to ponder. He starts to ponder, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your face? If I climb the heavens, you are there. If I lie in the grave, you are there. And he continues, if I take the wings of the dawn or dwell at the sea's furthest end, even there your hand would lead me. Your right hand would hold me fast. So there's nowhere we can go to escape from God's love, from God's presence, from God's life. Even in the grave, he says, you are there. Wow. See, and this is something I think about atheists. I was talking with a middle school kid just the other day when I was in Naples about this very thing, because he was talking about atheism and not believing in God and why is this. So although I believe atheism is actually fading, you know, there's so many people say they don't believe in God, and what they don't want to do is they want to be held responsible for their actions. That's why they don't want to believe in God. They want to be able to do whatever they want to do. But I was telling about this because ultimately atheism fails because it cannot answer the most basic question of human life and existence. Why am I here? What is my purpose? You know, and these are questions that can only be answered by God, by that special place in our hearts that was created there by God. And that's where God wants to touch us. But we have to be open to receiving what he wants to give us. If we want to be closed-minded, he can't work. God can't work. Not because he can't, because we won't let him. Because love is not something that's forced on us. Love that's freely given has to be freely reciprocated, or else it's not love at all, right? And so David's just dwelling in the splendor and the knowledge, reveling in the power of God's omnipotence working in his life. In the last couple of verses here, I love this. It reminds me so much of the words of Jesus here. If I say, let the darkness hide me and the light around me be night. Even darkness is not dark for you. The night shall be as bright as day and darkness the same as the light. What? I love that. See, when I'm praying psalms like this, when I hear strophes of the psalm like this, sometimes I just got to stop because my heart is like beating. My heart, I'm saying, oh my God, I just have to rest in the word right now. I have to stop and reflect and just rest in God's word right here. For example, this darkness and light, I love that motif in the Gospels when Jesus talks about, I am the light of the world and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, the light is the light of Christ that penetrates the darkness of our culture today. That penetrates all those things that seek to separate us from our faith, that's trying to take away our voices as people of faith in our culture. The light of Christ shines brighter than any of the darkness that this culture can bring. I love that. So this is Word of God Wednesday on the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. We're going to be looking at John 15, verses 9 through 17, the meaning of love. If you want to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 833-288-3986. Yeah. Yeah, moving from the front to the rock.
That's it.
Rock it out a little bit here.
We'll bring back the parachute pants.
Yeah. Well, it does sound kind of like the 80s kind of hard rock.
Yeah.
Kind of, not so much metal, but yeah, it's kind of the 80s kind of hard rock. Like a Foreigner kind of thing, the, or something like that.
The LA rock, as they call
it. That's it. Yeah, like that. Look, and see those pinch harmonics that he's doing?
Yeah.
Those screams, those are artificial or pinch harmonics. Eddie Van Halen was the master of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Of master of those types of harmonics. So you have to pick, you have to angle the pick and hit it a certain way, and while you're doing like a tremolo thing on the, in order to get that sound. It's pretty, it's really cool. And if you hit a vibrato with that, it's just
inspiration.
Oh, I just love that.
Yeah,
it is. It is. It's inspiration. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, and this is Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. Today, we're looking at John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Grab your Bibles. We're going to take a look at the meaning of love. So if you want to be part of the program today, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number to reach us is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. We want to hear your reflections on the power of God's love working in your life. When you say, I love you, what does that mean? When John, 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, and he who lives in love lives in God. How do you live in God's heart? How has God lived in your heart, in your life? How has God's love moved in a powerful way for you? We want to hear from you today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986. Well, this show is brought to you by some amazing people behind the scenes, Matt Gabinski screening calls, Charles Beery doing social media, and being produced today by Ace McKay.
Of course, we do love our EWTN affiliates, so a round of applause for two of our outstanding members as we look to KHQR FM 99.9 in Harlingen, Texas. They are celebrating six remarkable years with EWTN and at the same time, St. Paul Catholic Radio in Augusta, Georgia. If you're listening, even also in McCormick, South Carolina, 12 impressive milestone years with us. So congratulations to the teams at both of those stations. And of course, we are continuing to support you and pray for you here at EWTN Radio.
All right. Congratulations. That's great. And don't forget, all you listeners out there, support your local Catholic radio network or station. So important. Bringing the message of the gospel to this generation that so needs to hear the voice of God, speaking loudly and clearly and boldly and prophetically and beautifully. And that's what our Catholic radio station is doing. We're here at EWTN to support you. So God bless you guys. All right, so let's take a look at, again, we're looking at John 15, verses 9 to 17. Let's take a quick read of that. It's not very long. And it's going to set the stage for our conversation. Again, we're talking about the meaning of love. We want to hear how the power of God's love has worked in your life. And how maybe some of the challenges that loving someone, especially someone, because Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for them. Ho-ho! That's tough, easy to say, tough to do. Let's talk about that today. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. So John 15, starting at verse 9, says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. See, so that's powerful. Just that verse 9 is powerful. Why? When we talk, I want to try not to use a lot of theological language here, but we talk about God's relationship within himself is a complete and perfect relationship of love and communion. And so the love of the Father pours into the Son, the love of the Son pours into the Father, and the love from the Father and the Son pour into the Holy Spirit, who gives that full love back to the Father and the Son. So it's this is called the circumcession or divine perichoresis. Don't worry about the words, but understand the concept that love itself. See, what God itself is, what is God is. Simple. God is. Existence is God. God is just pure existence itself. So that's who God is. But when we talk about what God is in relationship, then as we say that, 1 John 4:16 kicks in, God is love. And of course, John would have heard this because this is his gospel. And he reflects on that in his first letter. But here he's given us the words of our Lord. As the Father hath loved me, so that pouring of the Father's love into the Son, he's loving us with that same love. A love that is covenantal, that is sacrificial, that is a gift, a complete gift of oneself to another, and the other giving themselves back to you. That's what he says, abide in my love, live in my love, reside in my love. The way that I'm loving you, you show that love to others. That's the first thing he says in this little discourse here. Then he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. See, you can't live your faith the way you believe you want to live it. We have to live according to the dictates of Jesus' laws, Jesus' commandments, and that's how we abide in his love. And he gives us the example. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, he brings everything back to relationship in the Trinity. Everything back to his relationship to the Father. So just as I'm giving you the example, just as I love the Father's love me, I've kept my Father's commandments, I need you to do the same thing. And I am giving you the example that you are, and this is how you're supposed to lead the church, by the way. He's giving the blueprint to his apostles here. In verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. See, now, one of the talks that I give at parish missions or conferences is called The Pursuit of Happiness, where I make the distinction between happiness and joy. So I've always said that you have to have joy before you can have happiness in life. Because if you don't, because where's that joy come? That comes from joy. That joy comes from a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus is now saying, my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. So Jesus wants to give us that joy by giving us the fullness of his life in the sacraments, most especially body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist. That intimate encounter where we unite our bodies with the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ so that our joy in the Lord may be full so that we can truly live a life of happiness. Not happiness according to what the culture says, but a happiness that comes from the joy of the Lord. Verse 12, this is my commandment. So now he goes, you know, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. But what is my commandment? That you love one another as I have loved you. I am going to die for you so that you won't die forever. Right? Jesus had to die because death is the worst effect of original sin. So he had to show us that not even the death is the end. Not even death can separate us from God's love. God's love is stronger. His mercy is more powerful than even death itself. And then the famous line, verse 13, greater love no man has than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Now, of course, he's going to give us the penultimate example by actually giving his life, sacrificing his life for us on the cross. But when we think about what does that mean daily? Parents who sacrifice and literally, in a sense, die to their will, die to their egos, die to their wants, needs, and desires in sacrifice and love for a child or a wife for a spouse. You know, and especially amplified if there's illness involved. You know, if a child has special needs, or you have a parent that may have a stroke, and the one spouse has to take care of the other spouse now, or the children have to be more involved. So this love is symbiotic. It's not just one way. And it's not, by the way, children returning the favor. Well, you raised me and you did all this stuff for me, and I have to take care of you. Now, it's not like, okay, tit for tat. No. It flows from the love of God, a love of selflessness and self-sacrifice. Right? That's what Jesus is talking about today.
You know, and I love it too in the comparison of even, you know, us to our own children, thinking about, you know, we want the best parts of us in them, right? We don't want them to take our bad stuff. The great thing is when we accept God's love into our lives, while there's a part of us that's like, well, I don't know if I'm ready for God yet because I don't want to, I like who I am. But what we don't realize is that there's as much of the bad things as the good, and as the, you know, the good that he pours into us, it only enhances the better parts of us. It's not a changing of your personality and you no longer like mac and cheese or whatever weird thing that we think it is that we have to sacrifice, but really we're sacrificing the worst parts of ourselves, the things that we know and the things that other people see in us. And God's like, I got you. I'm taking this with me because it's not supposed to be a part of you at all.
Yeah, you know, and that's so true. And I think back now when my grandma, so when we came to the United States, it was my mom and her mom, my grandmother. And my grandmother lived with us until she died. And when she had the stroke, my mom's a nurse, right? So yeah. So my mom wanted to take care of her at home. Didn't want to put her in a home. She wanted to take care of her at home, and all of us had to help. And it's humbling changing bedpans, or sometimes my grandma would wet herself or something, or have some kind of accident, and to clean that up and to, you know, just sacrifice things, and, you know, like, oh, I can't watch TV now because mom, well, that's what we called her mom, because mom needs me, and mom needs help. We just read to her, or, you know, she wasn't Catholic, she was Methodist, and so we just read the Bible to her and stuff. And you know, I mean, I think of moments like that, you know, and if you're a teenager, sometimes it's like, begrudging, you do it begrudgingly, right? Like, sure. Oh, I don't want to do this. But I look back on it now as an adult in retrospect saying, man, that, you know, that was a beautiful time with my grandma, you know? And I remember when she was healthy, she would make coconut bread, it's what we call sweet bread, and she, you know, make it at home, and it tastes like Barbados, it tastes like home. You know, and then remember toward the end of her life, and it was still beautiful, you know, a different relationship with her, but still beautiful. That's the love that we're talking about today. And we would love to hear from you. We're talking about the meaning of love on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're looking at John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. So share with us your story about the power of God's love working in your life. Maybe you've had some challenges loving someone that's unlovable. Right. Maybe you've had some challenges of loving someone who's annoying. Maybe God's love has worked powerfully in your life and you are able to transcend something. We'd love to share your story, your witness of God's love working in your life on Beacon of Truth. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Jim has done, calling on Guadalupe Radio from Dallas, Texas. Jim, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Greetings, Deacon. Hey, I really appreciate your program. You actually did a men's conference for us back probably 5 years ago in Grapevine, Texas, and it was truly amazing. I want to thank you for your ministry and what you do, and I've just got a little story to tell.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, Jim. Yeah, please.
So I think that God looks at us, you know, with incredible love, obviously, and sometimes we forget about that love. But when we have our own children and we look at them, we get a glimpse of what God probably sees in us, that just an intense love that we have for our own children. And one night at dinner with two children, one at one, and my oldest daughter was probably 2.5 years old. She looks at me at dinner and says, Dad, Mom's going to have a baby. And of course, I looked at my wife and she's puzzled, like, I don't know what she's talking about. She says, no, Dad, Mom's going to have a baby. I said, okay, well, that sounds great, Aaron. You know, tell me more about it. She goes, no, it's a little baby girl and her name is Mary Claire. And of course, we're looking at each other like, okay, whatever. 3 days later, we find out that we're pregnant. And of course, we know if it's a girl, it's got to be named Mary Claire. But, you know, 9 months into it, I said, Aaron, there's a 50-50 chance. She's only two, you know, or 2.5 by then. I said, 50-50 chance it could be a boy. Give me a boy name. She goes, Dad, no, it's a girl. And her name is Mary. She was adamant. And literally the day we were giving birth to our little baby girl, Mary Claire, I said, just give me a boy name. Just give me a boy name. She says, all right, Dad, Paul. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that'd be a good one. A great saint. But in any case, I think our children sometimes have that little umbilical cord to God, and he speaks through them sometimes with immense love and insight sometimes, which is really just profound.
So was it a girl?
No, yeah. She's 24 years old. She just got engaged to be married in that same church that you did the men's conference in, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, how about that? Yeah. Oh, praise God.
Yeah.
See, out of the mouth of babes, Ace was talking about this. So sometimes children, right, you say things like, what are you talking about? But it's from God. How beautiful that is. God's love working in and through children. How beautiful. Jim, thank you so much for that beautiful, uplifting call. We're talking about the power of God's love on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're looking at John 15, verses 9 through 17. We're looking at the meaning of love. What does it mean to actually love the way God loves? So, you know, we read some of the verses from John 15. When Jesus is talking about the type of love, how does that work in your life? It's great to read the Bible. How is that working in your life? What are the challenges of loving someone that may be unlovable, someone that you don't like, someone that you don't even want to be around? How do we love a person like that? How has God worked powerfully in his love in your life? We just heard from Jim, beautiful story of his daughter saying, you're going to have a baby and it's going to be a girl. Her name is Mary Claire. What? You know, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number to call to be on Beacon of Truth today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Michael is calling in from Dublin, Ohio, not Ireland, on St. Gabriel Radio. Michael, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Our glory to God. Right. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What'd you like to share with us, Michael?
Well, I understand your topic, but I think I've got the reverse perspective where it's been difficult to love my person. Not sure what kind of hidden things come out when I'm doing my day-to-day thing. But I just have a voice that says I'm an undesirable. And so it's been hard for me to keep people around me since people don't want to stay.
Oh, so what? Oh, okay, I think I hear what you're saying, Michael. You're saying you're the person that's unlovable. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, sir.
So how what draws you to that conclusion? Because, you know, God loves you totally, completely, unconditionally. You know, and so what makes you think that you're unlovable? Now, there are people that have certain personalities that clash with other personalities. That's just part of human life. But what makes you think you may be unlovable, Michael?
I think that folks are used to setting their own calmness. And I'm not sure where that normal level is of calmness. I have the type of job where I interact with a lot of people, and so I have to show my level of calmness that I bring from home, and it's difficult to do that because when I work my job, whatever job it might be, I go full force, and so you understand the dilemma.
So you go full force to your job and you bring some of that with you then when you leave the job.
I feel like there's power seeping out in everything that I do, but it pushes people away and it makes me, as I said, a terrible word, undesirable, but it's just the vocabulary of the days.
Yeah, see, we have to do is separate. See, you can't let your work define who you are, Michael, because you're not defined by your work. You're defined by being a loyal son of the living God. You cannot let this culture, you cannot let your work define you. Your love for God and his unconditional love for you is what defines you. That's what makes you who you are. And that's what you bring into your workplace. So, you know, it's not the other way. The work shouldn't be affecting and changing you. You should be affecting and changing by being the person who God created you to be, using the gifts and talents that he gave you to honor and glorify him, especially today, Michael, we're celebrating the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. So, Michael, what I would do is pray for the intercession of St. Joseph the Worker as you continue to work in the environment that you're in, that God's love will flow through you into the work environment and not the negativity of the work environment flowing into you. that situation becomes reverse, so that calm that you bring that into the workplace situation, so you don't let your work control you. That doesn't mean that you still want to do the best job possible, but you cannot allow the work to dictate who you are. A deep, intimate relationship with God is what carries you forward in your work environment. And St. Joseph, I can't think of a better person to ask for their prayers and intercession than St. Joseph the worker. That makes sense for you, Michael?
Fair enough. I totally understand. Thank you.
You are most welcome, Michael. Again, we're talking about the meaning of love on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're looking at John 15, 9 to 17. If you want to be part of the program, I'd love to hear the beautiful call from John, just how honest that call was. I talked about calling in and telling us about people that you have a hard time loving that may be unlovable. And John calls and saying, I'm one of those people. How beautiful and real. And I see, that's why this show, Beacon of Truth, we want to hear truth. We want to hear real, you know, and I want to thank John so much for breaking his heart open and sharing that with us. Because that's what we're about here on Beacon of Truth. You know, if you want to be with us today and maybe tell us about how God is working, his love is working powerfully in your life, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Holly is calling in from Owensboro, Kentucky on Savior Radio Network. Holly, it's a joy to welcome you here on Beacon of Truth today.
Yeah, it's great to be on this call. It's super fun. I was just calling because of something that you guys said when you commented on God's love changing and growing in you, and how that meant that God's going to help you with the bad part and stuff, but he's not going to take away the good that you already have, the love that you already have.
Amen.
I just thought that was so cool because I've been away from the Catholic faith for a long while and I'm just starting to come back to it and everything. And that was a big fear that I've had that, okay, I like who I am. I want to, you know, dive back into Catholicism, but I'm just so scared that it's going to be like change me in a way I don't want to be changed.
Well, no, see, God's love heals, elevates, and perfects our nature. It doesn't go against our nature. So God will not do anything that goes against the way that he created you. I mean, you are who you are, right? But you have to open your heart to allow God's love. Because see, you're bringing up something very important here, Holly. What's the biggest inhibitor to love? Fear. Fear. You know, and John, in 1 John 4:19, he says, perfect love casts out all fear. We have to learn to love more than be afraid. That's what's so powerful about the gospel we're looking at today. John 15, Jesus talking about what we have to do and the joy that we can get in our life from loving the way that he has loved us, right? And I'd love that that you shared that with us, Holly, that God's love is working in you, and you're coming back to the church. So we're going to pray for that, Holly. We're going to pray for so what, just since we're talking here. So you said you're coming back to the church. What if you had one thing that you feel you need to overcome in order to embrace the Catholic faith more deeply in your heart and in your life? What would that be?
Right now it's kind of hard. I'm about to graduate high school and I'm going to go out into the whole world and everything like that. And I go to a Catholic high school now, and even then there's like debates over the truth and what the truth really is within life and religion. And then just being able, like having the ability to be strong in my own faith and not have that shaken by other people is a big thing for me right now.
Yeah, I hear you. But remember what truth is, that's the purpose of this show, Holly. Jesus Christ says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is not a philosophy. It's not a social construct. It's not an idea. Truth is a person. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You stay strong in the truth of Jesus Christ, Holly. Don't worry about what any other people are saying. Don't worry about what they think about you. What you need to think about is what God thinks about you, Holly, and stay strong in the Lord. Know that I am praying for you, and all the other listeners are praying for you. And I would also recommend, Holly, get to Eucharistic adoration. Spend that time before the Lord in prayer, and let the power of the silence speak to your heart in a very powerful way. All right, Holly?
Thank you so much.
Yes, and God bless you, and congratulations on graduating. Well, tomorrow we're going to look at, I thought it was next week, is tomorrow, finding God in the workplace. If you're having challenges at work because of your faith, or you know your employer's forcing you to do things you don't want to do, and your conscience is bothering you, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.